It's the WTIL Morning News with Tom Meredith, Jim Lee, and Will Stevenson.
Tuesday, November 4th, 2 weeks away from the election, and lots of things happening here in Knox County. Some polling places going to be moving, and of course, all around the state of Illinois, it is the first day for early voting, and we are joined this morning to talk about those issues with Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson. Scott, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Pretty good.
Glad to have you here with us again this morning. Well, let's start off with the early voting. Of course, that gets underway today. Talk about the process of that and where people can go to do that.
Well, in Knox County, the early voting is basically going to be, if you live outside the city limits of Galesburg, you'll come to my office at the courthouse. If you live within the city limits of Galesburg, you'll go to City Hall to the election office that's there. And it's basically no fault, no excuse, absentee voting. Call it early voting. You can come in if you just feel like it's a Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock and you know what? Hey, I'm in town. I want to vote. Stop on by. We can get you taken care of. Before, you used to have an excuse. You used to have to have a reason why you were going to be absent from the polling location on election day. And as election laws have changed and morphed, they've added in this early voting. A lot of states have had it for a while. And it seems to be a good addition to the process. It gives people a lot more opportunity to be able to come in and vote and not have that pressure of trying to get that application mailed back to us or trying to scramble in on election day if they're working someplace.
But remember, it only takes a week.
There we go.
Hello. my best microphone is one that's shut off, believe me. I've heard a lot of the candidates talking about early voting more so than in the past. Is there any advantage to candidates to have early voting, or they just want to remind people to get out and vote?
It's a little bit of both. The parties, everybody wants to make sure that the people that are going to be supporting them get out and vote. And part of that process is, I mean, with the phone calls and the door-to-door operations that these campaigns have, they'll compile lists of people that they want to make sure are supporting them and make sure they get them out to vote. So instead of having them to wait and call them on election day and try to have a list of 400 people you're trying to call, if a lot of them early vote, that list could get dwindled down to 100. So it gives them a little bit easier for the campaigns on the management side of things to be able to work it. Mm-hmm. And plus, it's just a convenience factor, too. I mean, a lot of people are traveling. A lot of people are getting ready with the weather starting to turn, looking at heading to someplace warmer. And we've got a lot of people to come through and say, you know what, I'm heading to Texas. I'm heading to Arizona. I want to make sure I get my vote, make sure my vote counts. So we're happy to accommodate.
What about registration? Is it too late? Are we past that deadline, or can you still register?
The actual registration date has passed.
Okay.
But there is a process called grace voting, which actually is kind of a two-for-one deal. You can actually register to vote and then actually vote all at the same time. The process is a little bit more strung out and longer because we actually have to make sure that we precinct you properly, get you in the right location so we can get you the right ballot type. But it still can be done, and that'll run up until right before the election day that we're going to have that grace voting capability.
Yeah, and I suppose more people do take advantage of the early voting now just because of what you said. You don't have to have a note from your doctor anymore to do that. Huh?
Absolutely, yeah. We would always try to help when early voting wasn't in play. People were looking, I want to vote. What are you going to be gone from your polling place? Well, maybe. It's like, well, maybe is good enough. If you possibly are going to be gone, we can get you a way to fix it. But now with the early voting, it takes that problem out and it gives people a little bit more freedom. And it seems to have turned some other people into early voters. I mean, people that were like, you know what, I normally vote on election day, but my life's getting busy. Everybody's life's getting busier now. Mm-hmm. And they seem to just, you know what, I'm going to come in and vote early today, make sure I've got it taken care of, and that way I don't have to worry about it as it gets closer to election time.
Sure.
Well, since we ask the hard-hitting questions here, I have to ask, how many times do you actually get to vote in Knox County? So if I vote early, do I get to still go to the polls?
The vote early vote often only stays above the I-80 area.
Okay, just checking.
But that's an all-unofficial. No, in Knox County, you only get to vote one time, though. We do abide by the law. So.
Figured we should confirm that.
Yes, you still have to be breathing in upright and all that.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned the, I guess for a better term, the snowbirds as well. Was that previously... could you vote early if you were one that was taking off for a southern climate then? Was that one of the reasons that was usable? Or
yeah, absolutely. If you're going to be, you would qualify under the absent from your polling location on election day.
Okay.
So we were always able to take care of the snowbirds, the college students that were away at college and were far enough away that they couldn't make it back. Persons with special needs that couldn't make it to the polling places on election day that were homebound. Mm-hmm. Working that way, we can get them all taken care of.
So when you go in there early, do you have a little booth set up like you would on election day, or how does that work?
Oh, we've got all kinds of neat stuff set up at the courthouse. You can come in and you have options. The county has options on, you can vote paper or you can vote electronic. We have an electronic touchscreen voting. And you have both options available for them, whichever the voter feels more comfortable with. They have those options, but we have a booth set up for paper ballots. We have booths set up for the touchscreen machines. And then our encoding recording devices that actually tabulate the ballots that you see out at the polling locations, we actually have them there as well. So that if you're voting on your paper ballot, you can actually place that ballot through the machine. And if there's an error with it, the machine's set to kick that back. So if you've undervoted or overvoted in this election, that ballot can kick back. It shows up on the little screen of what the error problem was. And it gives the voter an opportunity to make corrections to their ballot before that's actually finally cast. So you've got a check that you would have had and a function you would have had in the polling location. We've just made that available now at the courthouse as well.
Okay. Scott, do you feel like we hear a lot, we talk about money, that someday cash money will be gone, it'll all be electronic. You think it'll be the same with voting, or do you see the two, electronic and the paper, coinciding for quite a while yet?
It's going to coincide for a while. There's been a big push in some areas to get internet voting and all online voting, and it's not able to be completely secured. They've implemented some protocols and things for our military and overseas voters. We want to make sure that our military and service people, men and women, have that right to vote and the ability to vote. So we can do some certain things with them that are a little more high-tech than what we do with our regular voters. But the touchscreen voting that we've got is really nice. I mean, it's just like you're ordering from a self-serve kiosk. You click the box next to the candidate's name. It puts an X in the box. If it's a vote for one, all the rest of those candidate boxes go away, so there's no way you can overvote the race. Mm-hmm. Gives you a lot of options and security. And I think that touchscreen voting will stay around for a long time. And with the way that things are operating out there, we had some complaints. The weather was cold. If there's a lot of snow, sometimes it's hard for the people to come in. So we've actually moved those polling locations. So all the voters in Knoxville will actually, instead of voting out at the fairgrounds, will now be voting at the new Knoxville High School in the Jensen Gymnasium. So it's going to be a real nice setup. There's a side entrance there on Ontario Street that they can come in, get them all set up. It'll be nice and warm in the winter. It actually has air conditioning for the spring votes. If it's some reason it was hot, we've got a real nice setup to go there. So it's going to be a lot more accommodating for our election judges and for our voters, I think, as well. So it's a real positive move on that. And then in Abingdon, we just had a situation where we found out that one of our polling spots that we had before is not available for us to use. So we've had to make a kind of a quick shift, call an audible, and move one of our polling locations in Abingdon. So our Cedar 1 polling location, which was before voting, originally they used to vote at the grade school, and they moved across the street to the Vitals Fitness Center. We're now moving them downtown to the Abingdon Police Station in their lobby area. We'll be able to get them set up. It's going to have a lot more parking facilities available and a lot easier access to that facility, too. So we're hoping there's some positive changes coming.
Well, and obviously we're here to get that message out, but there will be a few that haven't listened. So do you post something on the door of those places and tell them where to go that day, or do you get a lot of phone calls when that happens?
You don't have 100% listenership in the county?
I'm only 99.87.
Okay. For that 0.27 that don't listen to the station, yes, we'll have notices placed at the locations that the previous locations were at. We're also sending postcards out. The Knoxville voters have just got their postcards already. The Abingdon ones will be getting them real soon. Letting them know that the locations have changed.
Sure.
And then we'll also be available in the courthouse, too, fielding phone calls. But the early voting takes a lot of that activity out. Sometimes people, if they're concerned or confused or question where their polling location was at, a lot of times they'll come in, ask us where it's at, and they say, well, you know, you can vote now. And I was like, oh, okay, we'll take care of that then right now.
Mm-hmm. Is there any authorization you have to go through the state or anything to change a polling place, or is that up to each county clerk individually?
It falls back into the county's responsibility to be able to do that. We want to make sure that when you move a polling location that you're not moving it to a spot that's not really accessible, that's it should be more of a public building that has public access, that's not very restrictive. For people with special needs, we want to make sure they have the ability to get to the polling location if they're wanting to vote at the location on election day. So there's a lot of factors that factor into this, parking space that we need. I mean, there's a laundry list of actions that we try to go through to find, but sometimes it's tough, and we've got to move polling locations. Sometimes it's difficult figuring and finding a spot that'll work for everybody, and then having people that are willing to be able to open up their facilities and let us use. So we're very appreciative of the school and of the police station for allowing us the opportunity to come in.
Yeah, historically, schools, churches. Do you still use churches some?
The county doesn't use churches too much. The city has a lot in the church areas. Mm-hmm. Out in the county, we're a lot in township buildings. As you can see, a lot of these smaller rural township areas don't have community centers. They don't have a village or a city that's big enough to have anything. So if we're in a rural location, we've got a township building or bust. And usually they're really nice because they have township meetings there on a monthly basis. So it's not something like we're meeting in a shed. I mean, it's a nice facility. Yeah. And most of the township people know where their township building is at because usually it's the road commissioner has their offices there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Talking with Knox County Clerk Scott Erickson, polling places moving. Of course, early voting underway as of today. The actual election coming up on Tuesday, November 4th, just 2 weeks from tomorrow. One of the things I wanted to ask about, I've seen the sample ballot, and one of the things that's going to be on there is the 911 referendum. And you look at that, and it looks kind of complicated. Obviously, there has to be some legalese in there, but who determines how that is worded?
A lot of it comes by the statute, but we actually, when the county board passed the resolution to approve that, I wrote the resolution to be able to develop that. And then by passing that resolution, it basically stated the question in verbiage that we were in there to be used. And having that little disclaimer at the bottom piece that kind of gives an explanation of how much it's going to cost you, an extra 25 cents for every $100 of retail purchases, kind of makes it a lot nicer to understand. It puts it more of a realistic touch to it. Instead of all the legal mumbo jumbo that's in there, you can kind of say, okay, I know 25 cents extra for every $100. I can relate to that and make that a cognitive connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a great thing that I don't think was able to be had in years past because sometimes you see a percentage and you're thinking, well, how does this really equate in dollars and cents? And that spills it out about as good as you can.
Yeah, that's really a nice thing. They're able to change that law to allow those informational piece to come in there because it's smart. If you're going into a polling location to vote and you've got all the mumbo jumbo and you don't understand what that question is, there's a higher chance you're not going to vote on that question. And then it kind of can, if you really, you know what, I really wanted to, but I didn't understand it after the fact. Mm-hmm. This way, having that explanation gives everybody, the voters, put them on an equal playing field, let them know exactly what's going on so they can make that informed decision.
Something else is going to be on the ballot, and I was going to ask if this is new and different because I don't recall seeing it, but these advisory ballot measures that are statewide issues that I guess they're basically asking the public's opinion. And should it say, I guess, overwhelmingly, and not even overwhelmingly, should they say yes? Well, then maybe that's something the legislature is going to look at making law. And if they say no, maybe they won't. Is this something new?
Well, the advisory questions have been available for years, but it's not very often that you see them. A lot of times you'll see advisory questions at a municipal level. The city or the village is wanting to know, should we put in a new water tower or should we put in sidewalks in this part of town? So they'll put the advisory question on the ballot to kind of get a barometer, a test feel for what their citizens – what their opinion is on it. These five the questions that they've got on there for the advisory this time around are similar to that nature. They're kind of trying to feel out what the voters in the state are looking at doing. Now, if, like you said, if there's a huge overwhelming support for them, we're likely going to see some legislation that follows pretty quickly. If there's not a whole lot of support for them, you still could see legislation that comes through. They just are going to have a harder time making that sale to the constituency. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like I said, it's just kind of kind of throw it up on the wall and see what sticks.
Sure. Kind of a different way to take a poll, I guess.
Yeah.
How about voter turnout? I think people need to realize that there's the biggest voter turnout you get is on presidential elections when, in fact, an election like this affects you more locally than anything, be it county positions or city positions, state. Of course, the governor, and then, of course, and we do have the national with the 17th district congressional race, but What has turnout normally been on elections like this, the midterms?
Usually on your statewide elections, you're going to see anywhere from the 30 to 45-50 range percent turnout. A lot smaller than your presidential years, but there's also not as much money being spent on advertising and the media blitz that occurs with presidential elections and the huge hype that you're getting all the way from the national media all the way down to the local media. For statewide races and local race stuff, it's more of that local personal touch. you're still seeing a lot of the media blitzes, the races over in Iowa. I mean, you can't turn on a television station without seeing one candidate bashing another candidate for walking their dog on the wrong side of the street. No, this one walked their cat on the other side of the street.
10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, how does that have to deal with the issues that are mm-hmm, right. going with the office now? Right. So it's politics and campaigning has changed 180 degrees from what it used to be. But the turnout, you always hope for a really good turnout. But with early voting and with the absentee voting and things like that, we've given voters a lot of opportunity to be able to cast their ballot. And plus, the last day is Election Day. It used to be Election Day was the only day you could vote. Now Election Day is the last day that you can vote. Mm-hmm. So we always encourage people to come out and express their constitutional right to be able to cast their ballot at the polls and express their opinions. But you can't force people to go. We've got to give them – we'll give them every opportunity we can to get it. But if some people just choose not to go, I mean, that's their right to say, you know what, I'm sitting this one out.
All right. Scott Erickson, Knox County Clerk, joining us. By the way, Will mentioned electioneering this morning. I thought, it's kind of, if it's like an engineer on a train, you would be the electioneer running the thing, right?
Choo-choo!
There you go. See? All right. Scott, anything else that we need to know about this upcoming election 2 weeks from tomorrow?
No, we'll just make sure that, like I said, early voting starts today, and we'll be happy to answer questions. If you've got questions, concerns, where your polling location is at, sometimes you can check your voter ID card. If you're in those locations where you've moved polling places, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'll be happy to answer any questions that you've got.
Scott, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
News, information, and great conversation every weekday morning. The WGIL Morning News on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.